Jesus said, "He that heareth my words and believeth on me, or him that sent me, he hath passed from death unto life, and shall never come into condemnation." And as Jesus stood and talked to Nicodemus, Nicodemus asked him about a lot of things, and Jesus made the statement that no man has ever ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man that came down from heaven. He said, "Nicodemus, who is in heaven?" Jesus, how do you believe that Jesus was in heaven? Sure he was. He said he was. If he said he was, then he was. Because the scriptures can't be broken. He was the word of truth made flesh. So then, you say, now what does that have to do with you? The Bible said, as he is, so am I in him. Everyone that be perfect shall be as his master. I said, but now Brother Pike, you're not perfect. The Bible said, God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. And I believe I'm sanctified because the Bible said he hath sanctified once and for all the righteous by the offering up of his blood. So then, being as he, then that makes me bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He said, well, what's that got to do with you being in heaven? The Bible said, I'm hid with Christ in God whom the heavens have received. You're not of this world, for I've chosen you out of this world. I've hid you with Christ in God, whom the heavens have received. Now you agree that Christ is in heaven. The Bible said, and these are they that dwell in heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. The Bible said, you are not in the flesh. You know what the flesh is? That's the earth. It's made out of the elements of the earth. Isn't that right? But see, the Bible said, we're not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit. He that is born of the Spirit is spirit. How many believe you're born of the Spirit? Let me see you. Got a lot of spirits around here. First man, Adam, was made a living soul. The second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. Somebody would say, yes, but that quickening spirit you can't see. They did see him. He come up out of the earth. He walked around. He ate fish. They felt of him. Seen him there or whatever, or knew he was around, you know. I say felt of him. They had the opportunity to. There he was. He ate honeycomb with them. And he said, I've got flesh and bones. Isn't that right? But the Bible said the last man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit. How many of you believe that when he came up from the grave, he was the last man, Adam? The Bible said it is sown a corruptible body. It is raised incorruptible. Isn't that right? It goes down a terrestrial. It comes up a celestial. So then there he was with his lovely celestial body. So it could be that if he walked into our midst today, we might not recognize him because he said he did have flesh and bones. You never know. The Bible said be careful how you entertain strangers, for some have entertained angels unaware. You know, it is a true fact when you entertain certain people, especially sons of God, you entertain angels because angels are present in camping around about them that love the Lord, and it's unawares to you because you can't see them, but yet they're there. He will give his angels charge concerning them. And that means that even though we may not be very spiritual in our thinking, yet God is very spiritual. And Paul said, I would like to speak unto you as unto spirituals, knowing that they were spiritual people. He said, but seeing that you're babes in Christ, I cannot. He didn't say that they were not spiritual just because they were babes in Christ. He did not say that they were not quickening spirits. He said, I just can't talk to you on a spiritual level yet. You just haven't reached that place. But the angels are present. God is present. So then we say, where is heaven? There's only one heaven. That's the spirit. How many of you agree to that? We're not in the flesh, but we are in heaven. Isn't that right? We don't walk in the flesh, nor war after the warfare of the flesh. But we walk in the spirit. We walk in heaven. Because what is heaven but God? And who is God but the spirit? God is the spirit, the great eternal spirit. The only heaven there is God. And when you get in him, you're in heaven. And if you have not him and he hath not you, then you don't know nothing about heaven. The pure in heart shall see God. You believe that? Amen. See, God purifies our heart. by faith, the faith of Jesus Christ. And by us believing and having confidence in the atonement, he purifies our heart. Thus we see God. Jesus said, I do always the things that I see the Father do. He purifies our heart and we see God. And who is God? God is the Spirit. And what is God? He is the spiritual word of revelation. How do we see him? With the eyes of our understanding as they become enlightened. We become pure in heart. Our mind, as we think in our heart, our thoughts, the eyes of our understanding begin to comprehend the height, the depth, the width, and the length. We begin to see God. But those that are not pure in heart, they're just having strong delusions to the extent they think they're waiting for a rapture and some great thing's going to take place up here in heaven and away they're going. I know there's going to be something take place in heaven. He's going to break forth with the nail scars in his hands, Thessalonians teachings, he'll be standing right there. All the tribes of the earth shall see him, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. It isn't going to be like somebody says, you know, they say, well, he's just going to slip in, and he's going to grab them that belong to him, and he's going to be gone, and the grave's going to be doing this, and nobody's going to know what's happening. I've seen them write books on the rapture, you know. Now, they mean well, but it is not going to be any days like that. The Bible said that when he appears, every eye shall see him. There won't be no slipping in and out. Every eye shall see him. And somebody will say, well, now, Brother Pike, right there is where I get confused, because if that be true, what we're going to do with the teachings where it said he shall come like a thief in the night? He's coming like a thief in the night right now. Amen. To them that look for him in the appearing the second time. That's where the thief in the night's coming, right there. He's already coming. See, night, darkness, turn my people from darkness to light. He's slipping in now, getting the jewels. They don't see him right now, see, like a thief. Now, but when he appears, every eye shall see him. And the Bible said, even they that crucified him shall narrowly look upon him. And the Bible teaches that at that time, the sign of the Son of Man shall appear in the heavens, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. The tribe of the Germans, the tribe of the Japanese, the tribe of the Americans, the tribe of the Africans, all tribes will begin to mourn. So it isn't going to be a thing, you know, where you just see Jesus pop up in the heavens and say, and everybody's gone away. I suppose that probably all of a sudden there might be something that will begin to come on the scene, and they begin to look, scientists and everybody else. And then all of a sudden, they'll see what it is, the sign of the Son of Man. And I got a feeling it'll just sit there in the heavens, just stand there. And everybody just going crazy, just going wild. And the Bible says that they'll be running for the mountains and throwing their money to the bats and begging the mountains to fall on them, pleading. See, it's going to be a little space of time, giving them time to run to the hills and giving them time to run to the mountains and giving them time to do these things. And they'll be crying and begging the rocks. And the sign of the Son of Man will be sitting there, right appearing right there in the heavens. And the Bible said all the tribes of the earth will begin to scream and mourn. And it'll be a sad, sad time. Now, there's a lady, don't believe that, because she's been taught different. You've been taught different, lady. That's the first time I've ever picked your spirit up like that since you've been coming to my services. But it's true anyway. You go back and read your Bible. By me knowing your frame of mind ought to make you know that it's true. Now, so then, that's the way it will be. Go back and check your Bible and see. All right. So then the Bible said, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. Then the graves will break open and come out. The reason for that, as I've said so many times, is because we will then have conquered death by what we're doing right now. There isn't going to be any appearing of Jesus in heaven to grab the dead up until after the church or the body of Christ has completely matured to the intent or to the extent that it hath conquered death. And when it conquers death, once it has conquered death, then the graves are going to break open and the dead is going to get up out of the dust. The graves are going to break open as the sign of the Son of Man appears in heaven. For he shall descend from heaven with a shout. The Bible said, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. So it's going to be a day that's noted around the world. Everywhere it's going to be noted around the world. How do you believe that? You know, they got what they call the equinox. How have you ever heard of the equinox? The equinox, you know, the sun follows like an ecliptic. It goes in and out among the signs of the zodiac. Like, for instance, six of them we say on this side of the equator and six of them over here, about 12 of them that has to do with the apostles. And the sun, like the great mind of God or the great spirit of God, goes in and out. And it goes in kind of like this. It goes up like that and then down across the equator. And then back up like that. It shows us something. It tells us something in the sign of the Son of Man. And we can understand what he's doing among the zodiac. The zodiacs being the signs of the heavens. For the Bible says that God has set the stars, over in Genesis you find it, God has set the stars for signs and for seasons. And then it speaks of his star appearing in the heavens. See, and we speak also of the sun having to do with the day star. As that goes in and out, it tells us something. And the equinox is determined by the time when that sun crosses the equator. As it goes across there, then night and day becomes an equality. That is, on this side, it's just as much light as darkness or whatever. As it crosses the belt of the equator, the earth being tilted like this and the equator running around it like this, being the hottest point because being tilted on its axis, the sun coming down like this, hitting it, as it rolls around like this, it keeps at the hottest spot. Going up this way as we went not too long ago to Norway, you know, we got over there in the, got up beyond the Arctic Circle, got up to where the snow caps was. And that great snow caps up there, and then you go down here, you find the same thing down here in the lower part. That belt right there is that hottest place. And it really tells us something if we can understand. Now you say, Brother Pike, why are you talking about that? Because right now we're fixing to cross the equator. And our second stop, our first stop is Colombia, which has to do with Eternal Spring. And also Quito, Ecuador, whereas I believe, if you search it out, I haven't checked it, but I believe the name Ecuador would come from Equator. Because Ecuador is just below the equator. So Quito, Ecuador. We'll stop there just as we go over the equator. And then, of course, we have, as I say, we go on into Lima, Peru, where they just had the earthquake. And then we go right on down into La Paz, Bolivia, where we have our crusade in South America. There's something to that at this time, if you can see it. As a matter of fact, I believe Stevie was saying that Atlee called yesterday and they said they had an auditorium down there waiting on us and they'd been received real well. Everything was going along real good. You pray that they got an auditorium seat, about 2,000 people, and you pray that God will fill it up and run it over. Amen. And that God will give us the miraculous down there in that great country. But there's something taking place, and if you can see it, if you don't be critical, see, the pure in heart shall see God. And what is this that we're talking about? We're talking about God. It is not the minister that speaks, but God that speaks, or that is God, the great spirit. In the beginning was God, the Word. And what is God today? The expression, the spiritual expression from the innermost being of the minister. That is God expressing himself. And so then, ever how he does it, it is God. If there is a healing, that is God expressing himself. If the eyes of the blind is open, if the deaf ears is unstopped, if the lame is made to walk, that is God from within a human form expressing himself. If the words come out in great wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, in the gifts, whatever, that is God expressing himself. And from a human form, God continually expresses himself. And the pure in heart shall see God. The rest of them will just see Brother Pike. You love Jesus?
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
All right, we're glad to have you here, whether you see God or Brother Pike. If you see Brother Pike long, you're going to get tired of him and find fault with him and say things about him and soon want to change churches and a whole lot of other things, you know, because, man, he soon get weary of man and he finds fault. Even a man can marry a woman and she can sparkle like a dewdrop on a rose on a sunshiny morning, you know. But after a while, she just becomes his wife. Same way with the man. He can be so radiant that she feels like she could eat him up. And then after a little while, you know what they say about that. And that's the way she feels. But anyway, if you come looking for Brother Pike in faults, well, you'll find it. And then, of course, we've got numbers of other people here. You'll find their faults, too. But if you come looking for Jesus, you will find Jesus. Okay, I want to read from the book of St. John. We never pick up anything to sit down beforehand unless God deals with us, and which is, that has been a rare thing in my life. We just take it wherever God tells us, and that's what we do. In the book of St. John, it says in the first chapter, the first verse, if you'd like to read with me, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteneth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, whom the Jews sent. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then, art thou Elijah? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who cometh after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh the man, which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bare record that this is the Son of God. Again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, They have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there six water pots of stones after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, Fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, Draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bare it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and knew not whence it was, but the servant which drew the water knew, the governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, What sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. Now when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them, because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. There was a man to the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, that's reading quite a bit this morning of the Scripture, but I love to read the Word of God. You know, here, in reading the Holy Scriptures, there's enough for me to preach on from now till Jesus comes. I see enough spiritual enlightenment and enough spiritual revelation that I could preach on it from now on. You know, Jesus said here that the condemnation to mankind is this one thing, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Now, that is the thing that is going to condemn them at the judgment. It isn't the things that they have done. The things that they have done is not what's going to cause them to die and go to hell or to be turned into a lake of fire. That isn't what's going to do it. See, the things that you have done good, that isn't the things that's going to save you. For when we analyze our ability as being good, the Bible tells us there's none good except God. And when we analyze our ability as being bad or being wrong, the Bible said all have sinned. And God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. So it's neither good nor bad that's going to save us as far as our doings. See, neither condemn us nor save us. You understand what I'm saying? So then the thing that we will have to face at the judgment and the heartaches and the sorrow of those things and the judgment will be this one thing, and just this one thing alone will condemn us. And that is that light has come into the world and men have rejected that light. Amen. Light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. See, light has come into the world, Jesus said. In other words, while you were sinners, while you were in darkness, while nobody knew, while nobody understood, God did not require it of mankind. Isn't that right? He did not require it of mankind. Look from Calvary all the way back to the garden, and you find that all the way from the garden up until Calvary, he didn't require it of anybody. Is that right? Saying that God once winked at ignorance, letting Methuselah live 900 years. You say, but Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that God didn't require them people? Look and see if he did. All the way back, God didn't require it of them. But who did he require it of? He required it of his own Son. He took a fleshly body himself. He required it of his own self. He was the one that made mankind. He had never given mankind the light that mankind needed to know right from wrong to that extent. It never came into his heart. And so that God himself veiled himself in the robe of humanity and came down into this world and went by the whipping post and let him put the nails in his hand, and he himself took the punishment. Instead of blaming somebody else, he himself took the punishment and stretched out his hands at Calvary and was punished for what man had done. And the Bible said that condemnation is that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So then from Calvary, we are no longer ignorant of the things of God. Today we know the right things to do. We know the right way to go. We know how to perfect our lives. We know the things that please God. And it's going to upset God in such a way to think that we, His creation and human being, we who God made know the way of God and the desire of God, and we still go the way we want to go. That is the condemnation that will meet us at the judgment. So then this is the condemnation, Jesus said, that has come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. When God sent Paul to preach the gospel, the one thing he said to Paul, he said, turn my people from darkness unto light. Get them away from the darkness, Paul. God can have no fellowship with darkness. Get them away from the darkness. Turn my people from darkness unto light. Now look at Adam, for instance. Sure, Adam is in the garden. Adam and Eve, they've got light. But see, it is not an indwelling light. You understand what I'm saying? Though Adam and Eve had light, yet it wasn't an indwelling light. It wasn't an indwelling light. Jesus said from within, within a man's heart, are the evil thoughts of adultery and fornication and foolishness, lasciviousness, idolatry, all of these things, he said, defile the man because they come from within his heart. Evil thoughts of blasphemy, pride, foolishness, all these things, he said, these defile a man. See, Adam did not have this indwelling light, but he was dwelling in the light. You follow me? Adam and Eve was dwelling in the light, but they did not have the indwelling light. As far as the indwelling within them. And so then, dwelling in the light, they were able to slip away from the light. People that come here to church, you come to church, you hear the word of God, you get in amongst the light of the world. We are the light of the world. You get in here, all the shadows move back, you get God-minded, you see the beauty of this, and something churns on the inside, and the wheels begin to turn, and your mind begins to be programmed toward the things of God, and you begin to think about those heavenly resources, you know, and you become activated all of a sudden with the things of God, and say, glory to God, I want to be a Christian. Is that right? See, that's the way Adam and Eve was, because the Shekinah glory of God was present. But just as quick as you get away from those lights, you find out that you was a reflector. You was not a true star. You didn't have the indwelling light, beloved friend. You understand what I'm saying? You didn't have the indwelling light of God. And just as soon as you leave that city with that great light, that lovely city of Jerusalem that's made up of those lively stones, just as soon as you get away, you can't walk in the light of that city. The Bible said all of the earth shall walk in the light of that city. Is that right? And just as soon as you get away from those lively stones, your light goes out. And the dark shadows come in, the clouds begin to hover over you, and you get back within your own personal desire and ambition, and you get to wanting to do your own thing, and you get to wanting to be out in the world and frolic, and everything of the flesh begins to allure you, and you feel real good concerning the things of the world. See, you don't have an indwelling light. Now, you don't have the real security light. You know, we got lights around here we call security lights. And I know that our people are the security lights. You know, Christians are the security lights. That's the only light they are at night. Now, but we got a major security light, which is Christ, the hope of glory, on the inside of us. It's called the day star. See, and so then you come and you get in the light. You get in the light, but then after you go away, your light goes out because all you did was reflect that light. I've been in services, and I've seen men and women alike. I've seen them reflect that light and shout and tears stream down their cheeks. I mean, just stream down their cheeks. And I've seen them shout and jump and have a good time and speak in tongues and do all of those things. But just as quick as they left the presence of them people, they go right back to the things of the world. Right back. What causes that? God is pouring out of His Spirit upon all flesh. All flesh is receiving of the wooing of God. God knowing that we've got to have a spiritual love and a spiritual wooing. He's made allowance to draw us to Christ. Surely the goodness of God leads us to repentance. But Adam didn't have the indwelling light. It wasn't in there. Though it was God, it was the same light. But he didn't have the indwelling light. He dwelt in the light. I like that where Jesus said, if you walk in the light as I am in the light, you will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ shall cleanse you from all sin. Isn't that right? You walk in the light, you get together. There's something about it when you walk in the mind of Christ. When you walk in the light, you say, praise God, Brother Taylor. Say, I love to be with Brother Pike. I say, I love to be with Brother Taylor. You know, and the ladies say, I love to be with each other. You understand what I'm saying? They walk in the light. They share that light. That great abundance of enthusiasm that's bubbling on the inside, just like a spring, it does something to them. They feel inspired, you know. They feel quickened as they get one with another. Now, people that don't walk in the light don't want any fellowship with the saints of God. You know why they don't? Because it is vexing. You know, like when Lot was down there in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot, he kept saying, you know, over and over that this thing didn't please him down there. But he done got into bondage. And the Bible said it was vanity. It was vexation of spirit. Even Solomon said that. See, down there he was vexed. This righteous man's soul was vexed. Because he didn't relate to the things that was around him. Now, his family did. His family got right in there, you know. But not Lot. He couldn't relate to those kind of things. And that's just exactly the same way in reverse. You take people that's not born to the Spirit of God, they can't relate to Christians. Everything a Christian says, it vexes them, it bothers them. They'd rather get away from that because it makes them realize, you know, that something's wrong. Now, for instance, like the Bible speaks of in the days of the prophets, it speaks of the two prophets. When they come on the scene, the Bible says that those two prophets, what they preach will literally torment the people. That they'll be tormented by that message. They won't rejoice over it, but they'll be tormented by it. So that's the way the Word of God is. The Word of God literally torments devils to the extent that when Jesus was preaching, the Bible tells us that people that were possessed with demon spirits would just jump right up in the midst of them and just scream out, what have I to do with thee, thou Son of God? You understand what I'm saying? But oh, hallelujah! Glory to God when you feel what I feel this morning. That indwelling life is on the inside. The Bible said this light hath come down to you and I and appeared our presence. To them that sat in the regions of the shadow of death, great light has sprang up unto them. They that sat in the regions of the shadow of that death. Satan is the shadow of death. You know, you can feel that shadow at times as it begins to close in on you. Especially if you get in a condition of unbelief. You can feel it. It begins to close in. You can feel that dark, dismal presence or shadows and begins to close in on you. That confinement. You take, for instance, a person that's in a lighted room, then they are free. They are happy. The greater the light, the freer they are. But you take and put all the light out, and you put a person in a dark room, there's no light whatsoever. Then they find themselves in a confinement. They're here in an enclosure that has them closed up in such a way that they feel so miserable and so wretched, like a person behind bars. See, they're closed in. They're in a prison. Their minds are closed in. They're closed in. You know, it depends on your thinking as to what you are. Isn't that right? Like I heard about the man that was in prison one time, and he said during all these years he was able to endure, and some of them asked him, how in the world did he ever do it? And he told him, he said, well, the way I did it, he said, I didn't live within the prison walls. I didn't live within the imprisoned confinement. He said, in my heart, in my mind, I would look out that window and I would project my heart, my mind, and my spirit out there in that freedom and in that opening, and said, my spirit lived out there in the world of freedom. So he said, I wasn't in prison at all. You see what I'm saying? So it's your mind in here. The body has nothing to do with it. The body is dead without the mind, without the spirit. It's dead. But this man on the inside, this inner man, this indwelling life that I keep speaking of, this life, this inside life that we keep speaking of here, see, that's got to have freedom. It is a spirit. It cannot be confined to this little intellectual barrier or prison there that we call a world. See, you're in a world, I'm in a world, everybody's in a world, everybody's a sovereignty. I've said a lot of times it might be cloudy in your world, the thunder rolling and the lightning flashing. And over here in my world, the little poppies just springing up everywhere and the birds singing hallelujah. I mean, it's having a good time in God. over here, and you might just be having the worst kind of time. See, that's the way it is in the mind of Christ Jesus. What kind of mind or world is the mind of Jesus Christ? It is the resurrection. Hallelujah. When you enter into the mind of Christ, you are the resurrection. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Hallelujah. And when you enter into that mind and into that great world of Christ, then you are the resurrection. You are the life. You're one with Him. My, everything is so wonderful. There is no boundaries. There is no limitations. You're not confined as far as God's blessings in the financial realms. You're not confined as far as God's blessings in the physical realms. You're not confined as far as God's blessings, extensively speaking, as far as the natural realms out here concerned, or the spiritual realms, or the physical realms. You're just free. You're just free like a bird. Is that right? How many understand what I'm saying? All right, so then, let me go just a little bit further now. We see that this light, oh, I love to talk about that light. Oh, we see that this light, this great light has come into the world. And what is the condemnation? God said, I am the great light. I come into your presence. And you put me in a manger. You didn't have a place for me. This is the condemnation, that I came into the world and the world knew me not. I had created the world. I created you. I made you and made the world and all therein. But I was in the world and the world knew me not. And this is the condemnation that's in the world, is that you didn't know me because you loved darkness rather than light. For unto you great light is sprang up. And John said, he said that he was not that light. He said, but I came to bear witness of that light. He said, this great light that lighteneth every man. Has it ever lit you up? The old lamp lighter from the faraway hills that lighted life's candle to give my heart a thrill. Hallelujah. The old master painter from the hills far away. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus that came to brighten my day. Hallelujah. So then we see that my spirit, the Bible tells me it's the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. Searching out the inward part, and we see this light coming down into this world. The great light of God, this light, at last, this light has come. Oh, how can you be anything but thrilled? This light, this great light that money can't buy, this great light has come down into the world. And this light lighteneth every man from within. This light springing up from within. Look at Moses. Here Moses is. He goes up on the mountain. And finally he stays up there so long with God till after a bit the light is turned on. And then the light begins to radiate, radiate, radiate. And after about 40 days and 40 nights of being with God, he becomes illuminated. But then that isn't enough. He comes down from the mountain from just a few minutes. He sees everything in a turmoil. He goes back for another 40 days and 40 nights. And there the light begins to radiate until finally that light has come through his blood genetic soul that is shining all on the outside. The Bible said, wisdom maketh the man's face to shine. And all of this great light came out. Like Stephen, the Bible said that they beheld his face as that be of an angel. What did they mean by that? They mean that his face began to glow so. It was a light. It was such a radiance that it tore them to pieces when they saw it. That radiating light coming out of Stephen's. See, this great light that's going to transform you and I, that's going to transfigure you and I, that has already translated the inner man into the kingdom of God, this great light that's changing my blood genetics, this light, what is this light? It is the life of mankind. What is this light? It is the light of mankind. It is the light of mankind. And what kind of light is it? It's understanding. It's understanding. That's what light is. It is understanding. When we think of light, we think of this little bulb, this little candle power. But that's only a type. God uses that to show that you can't grab a handful of it. But you can get a heart full of it. You can get a heart full of it. So then, we see the light. What is the light? It is God. And who is God? He is the Word. And what is the Word? He is the Spirit. What is that Spirit? It is the light. It is the light. What is that light? It's understanding. That the eyes of your understanding become enlightened, Paul said. No man has seen this light at any time. The Bible says that God is the great light. No man can approach unto this light. And no man has seen God, the great light, at any time. But Jesus, God's body, a man, God, the great light, has personified himself entirely in Jesus Christ, the human body. From within that human body, the Bible tells us that that light radiates, and John bear witness saying that I saw this light through the Spirit. I saw this light. He said, God said to me, while he was away over there in the wilderness, God said to me, John, he will be a man. When he comes into your presence, he will be a man. And John, even you won't recognize him. He'll just be a down-to-earth, common man, just like any other man, John. And you won't recognize him. But said when he walks up into your midst, I tell you how you can tell, John, when you see the dove of heaven come down upon him and it abideth upon him, then you know that that's him that I spoke of. It shall abide upon him. John said, and I bear record, for I saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending in the form of a dove, and it came down upon him. And John said, and this is the man. This is the man that I saw. This is the man that I saw, John said. And I bear record, I bear witness. As God said, the dove came down upon him and it abode upon him. Now, what is this light? Give me just a few more minutes and I'm going to close. Now, what is this light? What is this light? See, it's like I said today. Follow the ecliptic. Take the sun. Watch the sun go in and out among the zodiac. Go in and out. 12 signs, like the 12 apostles. And watch it go in and out among 6 of them. Like it'll start over here. And you know that they've got what they call the solstice, which is December, about December 21st or somewhere along there. It's the shortest day of the year. And then over toward the middle of the year, they've got over about July, I believe it is, along in there, they've got the longest day of the year. And that sunlight goes across the equator like this. Going in and out as the world turns. It follows the ecliptic as it goes in and out the zodiac, through 6 of them, down it goes, and then when it goes down, up it comes again through 6 more of them. How do you understand what I'm saying? To bring about, as we would say, to show the darkness and to show the light. The equator, the balancing of the world, tilted on its axis, the sun shining down, the hottest place around that. Now we're going to Ecuador, which I believe comes from the word equator. Quito, Ecuador, just over the equator. See, Colombia having to do with Eternal Spring. We're going to this spot. This is the hottest place. The capstone up here of the snow, down here up the Arctic Circle, up there around Norway, the land of the midnight sun, down here still the snow camp. But here in the middle, around the belt, that sun, the day star, going in and out among the zodiac. Now look at this for just a minute. Let's learn just a little bit about the light. First of all, look at the marriage supper. There were 6 of those containers. Is that right? That's what we've got to watch. Man's number is always 6. There were 6 of those containers. See, the zodiac is divided up, typically speaking, in 6. 6 up, 6 down. Always, God's got an inner man and an outer man. 5 wise virgins, 5 foolish virgins. He's got an Esau, he's got a Jacob. Are you following me? He's got a Cain, he's got an Abel. Always it's the same. There has to be one that is a reflector. One must be a reflector. The others are not reflectors. The others are two lights. But some must be the reflectors. Now when the Bible speaks of this light, it says that Satan, Lucifer, the red dragon, that is the blood life, the bloodstream. When you say red dragon, you saints of God know that I'm talking about the bloodstream. The bloodstream. That red dragon, that blood life that comes from natural birth, that blood life. The Bible said a third part of those that are out here in the heavenly realms will be cast down to the earth. That means that in the church, a great portion of the church of today that we see is only a blood life existence. They are not a spiritual life existence. They're just a bunch of people that's got formality. That's all there is to them. They don't have the spiritual indwelling light. They don't have the day star moving in and out among them. That is dwelling within their heart. It is moving in and out among them as far as being on them. But they don't have the indwelling light. A great portion of the church world. The Bible said that those stars shall fall from heaven. I warn you today, and speaking to you in the love of God, if you've never had a born-again experience, get one. If you've never been filled with a loving Holy Ghost of God, get one. Get one. You got to do something. Amen. You got to do something. You know, we have our camp meeting about July. July the 4th, you know. That has to do with the independence. That ecliptic, when you follow that sun, and it moving around, it comes to its highest place about then. The highest place, it comes across down here bringing forth the equal knots. There are four points there that determines the seasons, like the solstice as they mark them. Four points, it comes in and out, it comes over the equator. And then as I said, to bring about the equal knots, which is an equal part, that is the day as the night, just it's the same. Just as much day as it is night, hitting the equator about that time, the sun hitting that point. As the world turned, the sun hitting that point of the equator, it divides the sunlight one way or another. That is an equal knot coming in either by day or by night. You ever how God moves it? Going over like that gets to the highest point in the summertime there in July, which has to do with a great spiritual significance in that it is the day of independence. See, the highlight of the ministry of Christ, which is Calvary, it brings us to a certain place. You understand what I'm saying? A great place, our camp meeting, has to do with a great thing. We're not just another church. We're not just another body of people. We are the body of Christ. We're the sons and daughters of God. A lot of the world is nothing but followers of the red dragon. They are born of the blood. That's all they are. There is a blood church. There is a spiritual church. And you can tell the difference between the bond child and the free child. Because just as it was in the days of Abraham, Ishmael mocked Isaac. We who are the free child, we are born by faith. But the Bible says that Sarah received that son by faith. She was past barren. Abraham was beyond that age. It was a son of faith. Isn't that right? So it is with us. So it is with us. We're helpless. We can't bring forth Christ in our life. We're beyond that. Why? Because of the fall in the garden, we have no power to do that. So then by faith in God and in Calvary we produce the Son. And Paul said, I travail till Christ be formed within you. You understand what I'm saying? But the bond child, while we're bringing forth the mind of Christ, which is Christ within us, the Spirit, the life of Christ, while we're doing that, we're travailing in this outer woman, this outer part, this fleshly person. We're travailing while on the inside this son matures. The mind of the living God denying the flesh. The woman denying herself so that she can be sure that a child isn't marked by the beastly part of the outside. While we're doing that, then the world out here is eating and drinking and living it up. And they're bringing forth an educational indoctrination of reasoning. And they're bringing forth a bastard child on the inside that you can't get to the name Jesus Christ. They won't have the name of Jesus. They won't accept the name of Jesus. They follow a three-God outline and they deny that there is such a thing as one God in the name of Jesus Christ. So then, We see that thing happening to them out there, that blood, that bloodline. See, that intellectual reasoning. Are you listening to me now? That intellectual reasoning, that bastard child. The Bible said he's the bastard child. He doesn't have a heavenly father. He wasn't conceived of God. It isn't a virgin birth of the Son of God, but it's an adulterous thing by the harlotry of the world and a satanic thing in that the human body doesn't belong to Satan. And when the human body mates with Satan, it's a harlotry act. And the conception is not divine. It's evil and a base. It's adultery. And the bastard child comes forth, it doesn't have the name of the Father. And the Bible said, in the morning I will despise thine image, because it will be in the image of the beast. You understand what I'm saying? How do you understand what I'm saying? So then we see these two things going on. There is a wrestling. There is something that's going on. There is a struggle, as it was back there in the womb of the woman when she said that the children struggle within the womb. And I went to God and I said, God, what's happening to me? And he said, they're struggling within the womb. One is to be greater than the other. And the elder is to serve the younger. Are you following me? This old flesh is born first. Isn't that right? It's the elder birth. But in the Old Testament, did you notice the Bible said that God required the sacrifice of the firstborn? Is that right? And all of them that opened the matric of the firstborn belongeth unto me, he said. But before they could be gods, they had to be without spot. Is that right? You couldn't offer him the halt, the lame, and the blind. But the sacrifice, look at Jesus Christ, the firstborn. He had to die. Why? So the secondborn could live. Who? The second man, Adam. Christ Jesus. Jesus had to die, the Christ had to come forth. The differentiating between the Lord and the Christ, the rending of the veil, the separation. Where I read to you, destroy this temple, I'll raise it up in 3 days. Taking the Lord from the Christ. So then the firstborn had to be smitten. Always the elder has to die. Why is that? This elder will always mock the younger. Always mock the younger. Look at the prodigal son. Go back to the elder brother and see what happened. Always it's the same. See, out here in the world, you can't do anything. You're spiritual. You want to be like God. You're not interested in a good name, and you're not interested in money and fame and popularity and all these things in the world. You just want God's favor. Yes, Lord. But the people of this world, they've got to have all of that prestige, all of this thing that go along with it. Now, when I say that, I don't mean to give place to the devil in people that don't have a good name for God. I believe you ought to pay your bills, have a good name, be just exactly, as we say, Johnny on the spot, with everything in your transactions and holding yourself up as a light that shines in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generation to where they have no evil thing to say about you. If you can't do that, you're not a son of God. You've got to be without reproach if you're even a minister. A good report of them that are without, or you can't even be the minister of Christ. But at the same time, there is a way of the world out there. And they've got that. Esau's got that. Jacob's got the birthright. They've got that out there. Can you give me a few more minutes now? Don't go out on me. Just hold on a minute or two more. But see, there is a blood life. Blood life. The red dragon. A third part of these fell from heaven. See, it was the tail part that wrapped around it, that throwed it down, which indicated to you and I that it was in the end of the world that this thing happened. See, the head part is the beast back over here in the garden. The Bible speaks of the beast. It speaks of it back there in the garden. Then it calls him the old serpent, the red dragon. Now, the bloodline. See, there is a church that has first birth. It's a bloodline. It's the red dragon. It's the intellectual realm. The intellectual reasoning, the head of it is the serpent. They're indoctrinated with education. That's all they understand. Money, convenience, popularity, prestige. They've got their minds on the flesh. Satan savors the things that be of the flesh, the things that be of this world. But if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. The world and the lust thereof passeth away, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. To be carnally minded or worldly minded or having a desire for worldly things is to die. That's death. There's no life there. That's blood life. That's the intellectual life of the world, leaning to your own understanding. That's death. That's the first birth. The curse is upon it. But look at the second man, Adam. The light didn't come down from heaven. The waters of Noah came down from heaven. The light of the Shekinah came down upon Adam. But oh, my brother, when we think about God, when Jesus was resurrected from the dead, Jesus said, "No man taketh my life from me. I lay it down. This commandment I have of my Father, I can lay it down or I can take it up. From within, out of the innermost being, there comes forth wells of living water. A fountain opened in the house of David." The rain don't have to come down on the just and the unjust, because we can water ourselves from within. As it was before the great fall back there when the earth watered itself from within. Wasn't no rain that had to come down from heaven. It didn't have to come down from heaven. The little root sap, they sipped on the waters from within. For the Bible said, "He that's born of God is like a tree that's planted by the rivers of waters. Along the river of life that leads up to that throne in the city of New Jerusalem. In the midst of those lively stones, right down the middle of it, there are those trees of life on either side, and their roots going deep, running down into the water of the river of life, bringing forth that river of life into their branches as the sunlight of that great light shines upon them. And the Bible said, he shall be like a tree that's planted by the waters. He'll bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Okay, I'm going to close in just a few minutes now. I'm just about halfway through, but I'm going to have to close anyway. In this, there is a church that we see that is a blood life. There is a church that we see that is spirit life. Go down to the undertaker. He cuts the jugular vein. He draws the blood out. While he's drawing the blood out, in goes, into there goes that preserves him. He begins to put the embalming fluid in. He begins to put it into the vein. Why is that? To preserve. See, preserve. It shows God at his work. You've come down to the Jordan. You come down to the crossing. When you get to Calvary, you're going over. Now see, you're down there. You're fixing to go. Where are you headed? Into that beautiful mansion. They put a nice pillar under your head, you know, and just lay there, still repose. You understand what I'm saying? Sleep, beautiful sleep. Resting in Jesus. The song said, "A sleep in Jesus, oh, how sweet." So sweet, resting in Jesus, from which none ever awakes to weep. It puts you in there. You understand what I'm saying? You come to the crossing. The embalmer, he's working on you. He's making that little change over there. You're going through that transition. He cuts that jugular vein. He takes all of that blood. The red dragon goes out. Out he goes, out of heaven. The kingdom of God's within you. Isn't that right? That life, that perverted life, that corruptible life, that which corrupts mankind, that come from the fall in the garden, that intellectual reasoning, that day is over. You go down there and he pulls all of that out, and then he puts the preservation within you. And them that have prepared, them that have Christ on the inside, when they get up on the other side, it's good morning, hallelujah, I'm one of them. On the other side, we belong to that. Now I just say that for you folks that believe in dying. It's wonderful over here. And after you die and come over here, you'll find it out. If some of you don't get right when you die, you ain't going to get over here. You're going to find you got a leak in the bucket. All right, so then we see there's a world out there, folks, and I am going to close. We see that there's a church world out there, and this church world is a natural church world of programs, of parties, of intellectual reasoning. There's no sacrifice whatsoever required. You can dress like you want to, do like you want to, say what you want to, be what you want to, think like you want to, but it's all intellectual. It's all the world. It's all the blood realm. It's the blood life. It's the domains, the Antichrist realms, the domains of the red dragon, the intellectual control of that which is the fall of the garden. That mind of Satan has control. See, and you are a member of it if you function with it. You are a prisoner of it if you're in the control of it. But then at the same time, in that invisible world, that supernatural world, that light on the inside that's springing up, gives us eternal life. We are the members of his body. We are bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. We function accordingly. That spirit on the inside flows like the rivers of living water. The deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God and out of my innermost being. my cup runs over. So then we see God doing something. John said this great light. What is this light? It is the life of mankind. It is the life of mankind. I am the life, Jesus said. This great light, my understanding, my words are spirit understanding. My understanding are words of life. My understanding, my spiritual expression to you. Jesus said it's life, extensive life, eternal life. It's life. Life. My expressions are life. If you can absorb me like a sponge, Jesus said, I am your life. I am your life. If you can absorb me, I am the Word. I am the Spirit Word. I am life. Absorb me, he said. Absorb me. I am your life. I am your life. In me you have your beings. Paul said he is above you, he is in you, he is through you. In him you have your being. You function, you stay alive. Brother Taylor sings a song, he's here, he's here. God's everywhere, and he has been here all the time. Now then, there's just about a bushel more that I'd love to go into. But we're going to stop right here. I hope that we've said something that will help you to understand what we mean. By this light, Paul, turn my people from darkness to light. Gross darkness shall cover the people. Intellectual reason, education shall take the preeminence. Man shall be under the control of the beast, which is the flesh. But God's people shall spiritually be cut off, separated, taken out from among them, raptured out through from glory to glory through the translation of the innermost being shall be translated and separated because they are not reflectors. They will not fall from heaven. As the days of grace is over. The days of grace being over, that is the second heaven. When the days of grace is over, the people that are so blessed financially, physically, so blessed as far as jubilance, as far as the Spirit being poured out upon them, the church world, the religious world, the red dragon, all that will fall from heaven. That is, it will not be in the presence of grace anymore because grace will be over. That will be the end of the days of grace. They will fall from heaven and the Antichrist will have control of them. He'll be in rule because he himself shall fall. Set a star, fell from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. And the red dragon was kicked out of heaven. The great warfare, he was kicked out. That simply means that God withdrew. The grace of God withdrew. And the second heaven, where the birth of the child was and the travail of the woman, in that the church is in the second heaven, was no longer. Once they withdrew, that meant it was over for Satan, the days of grace. That meant that we had already been caught up into the third heaven, Amen. Which is the mind of Christ. Oh my heart is enlarged to you. How wonderful, how glorious to know, to see, to believe, and know that it's true. But oh my God, I think of those that shall miss it. Those that can't understand. Folks, there's never been nothing like this. This is so, the only thing he says, hallelujah. That's the only way I know to express it. I guess that's the reason God gave it. I don't know of any way you go to, you just go to say, well, it's like this, and you struggle to express it, and all you say, well, hallelujah. That's all you say. Seems like that gets it out, you know. So that's what it is. It's just hallelujah. All right. Let's everybody stand together. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now tonight will be the last night that I'll get to be with you for a little bit. We'll be going down into South America. Most of you already know that. Some of you maybe that are here for the first time, you don't know that. Brother Mason, is this Brother Mason on the back row back here? With he and his wife? Is that right? Brother Mason back here, we're so glad to have them with us. What little I see of them here in the service seem like they're very fine people. We sure hope that they'll make this their church home. Maybe they already have a church home. If they do, we don't want to take them away from that. But if they don't, it's like it is out in Texas, you know. Everybody turns the cattle loose out there and they all got a brand on them. But doing Roundup time, you know, if they don't have a brand on them, a lot of times there's cattle born out there, you know, they don't have a brand on them. It's Roundup time, and if you don't have a brand on them, well, you just go out there and get your part of them. So I want to get my part of them. All right, so you go out there and you get your part of them while it's roundup time. You get your part of them and you bring them on in because God's called you for that reason. Real frontier evangelism for God. Now we'll be leaving on a Monday for just exactly that, to go out to see if we can win some souls for God. Remember the song where it says, "And they shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." You know, you reap down the fields, you bundle them up into sheaves. And he that goes forth, the Bible said, he that soweth in tears. The Bible said Jesus, in the days of his pilgrimage, he offered up supplication with strong crying. In that he did, he was heard. And said, he that goes forth sowing in tears shall doubtless return or come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So then, let's sow. If we have to sow in tears, let's come bringing in the sheaves of God. We sang that song, "Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves." You ever sing that song? How beautiful it is. He shall doubtless come bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing a little chorus together while Cindy is. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. You know, it really warmed my heart yesterday when I saw Brother Harold Walker and I saw Steve having come out of the islands after 10 years of being tied up with the dope over there, giving himself to the world, and David there and Teresa there and her husband, the son-in-law there, and all of them banding themselves together to do something for Jesus. Going to be a team to work together. It was really, really a thrilling thought, you know, to see that. And I know that he was so happy. There is nothing that can make one any happier than to see those that are so dear to his heart come into the kingdom of God. And I know that you've got people that are dear to your heart. But beloved friend, pray. You need to pray. It's going to be a sad moment, a sad day. You that know about this great eternal life and the sufferings that's beyond. It's going to be a sad day when you see your dad close his eyes. And you look upon the face that you love. The mother close her eyes. The thing that's so precious that you've held to your breast. And the little darling children. The brothers and the sisters that's been so darling in your sight. You see them close your eyes, or their eyes. And you realize that they're never going to enter into life. And the horrors and the terrors and the screams and the nightmare of the eternity there to consume them. And you know that you could have done something about it. You know that you could have said a word that might have changed the course of their life. Oh, what a sad moment. What a sad moment. You'll never get over it. Never as long as you live, you'll never get over it. Do something while you can. Do something while you can. Do something, friend. Let's sing that again, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Can you lift your hands up to God and worship God? They shall mount up